Got to compose myself a little bit. What would it do for you if I told you that my eldest daughter wrote that? And I only tell you that because of what we're going to talk about today. The title of the message is, What's the Point? And when you get somebody that's close to you, as far down as they can go, and they ask themselves, what's the point? And you pray, and you ask God, I need her to see you. I need her to see you the way that you see her. Please. And he turns it around, and she writes a song about her Savior. That's rejecting the devil and the lies that we believe. Interestingly enough, today's message was not built on the fact that we were going to do the veterans presentation. But in Joshua chapter 4, we're going to talk about remembering. But as it relates to what's the point of remembering? Remembering carries with it a level of significance. And seemingly the more significant an event or circumstance, whether good or bad, the more likely we are to remember it. Have you ever been in a situation where you say, you never let me forget that? I know I have. Well, that can be a bad thing at times because we're not supposed to keep records of wrongs, but it also can be kind of humorous. I'm going to give you an example. Back in Lynchburg, Virginia, where we lived before we came here, so it's been a while, my wife and I were sitting in an apartment close to Lynchburg General, and we decided to have a date night. And she said, hey, Applebee's has some appetizer deals. I said, okay. Kids are down. I think Mackenzie and Lexi were the only ones around. Maybe just Mackenzie. Mackenzie was, yeah. And so I said, hey, I'll get the phone and I'll order them. So I picked up my cell phone and she says, Applebee's. And I'm like, I'd like to place an order to go, please. She said, sure, what would you like? And I blanked in that moment. I had what some people call a brain fart in that moment. And I said, I would like what are they called? Appetizers? I said the word appetizers. And my wife is just looking at me and cracking up laughing. And I'm like, and so I finished the order and I thought, what am I gonna do? Because at some point I gotta go pick up the order, and this person's gonna look at me and know that I'm the idiot that said appetizers. And so I did the only thing I could think of doing when I got there. I came in, she's like, how can I help you? I said, yeah, last name Freeze for an order. My brother called an order in. Got myself out of it real quick. But she never lets me live that one down. Reminders can be wonderful recollections and bring with it an appreciation for what you have or had the opportunity to experience. On the flip side, there are things that remind us and bring back memories which we wish to forget. We can recall events in our life and the lives around us that cause us to develop a different way of thinking or living because of that experience. But regardless, most reminders are about what we need to do or not do differently, and rarely about how good something is. Let me give you another example. If I said to you, I set a reminder in my phone and it went off, and you're like, hey, Joe, your alarm's going off. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's my reminder. A reminder for what? Just to remind me of how good my wife is every single week. Nobody sets a reminder for that. But you might be sitting there thinking, I don't forget how good something is in my life. Well, what about the expression, you don't know what you have till it's what? Till it's gone. Forgetting happens quite a lot. In fact, a quick search in the internet, because we can believe everything there, says within 20 minutes, about 50% of the information is forgotten. 20 minutes. One day, memory retention drops to 33%. One week, nearly 20% is retained. And by 30 days, guess how much? 90%. 90% is gone. Within 1 month, the majority of the information that you've been given is gone. The extent of which we remember takes into consideration the significance of the event, our level of connection to it, and then we deduct what needs to be considered because of it. So really, it's about a magnitude, a personal position, or a direction. So let's look at it this way. Magnitude of your situation, personal position you have with that particular situation, and the direction you take after. So it's all for a purpose. So we think about the things that you remember or the reminders you set, there's a point to it. No matter how big, how small, there always is a point to it. So what I want us to consider today is what each and every circumstance we have, the ability to create a monument to remind not only us about the goodness of God, but others also. Remind others and remind them of the hope that they can have in Jesus Christ. Reminders of his goodness reflect what he's done and is not done doing in our life. So that leads me to the start message, the message today in Joshua chapter 4. So turn to your Bibles. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9, and then we're going to jump towards the end of the chapter here in a little bit. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, which we know is 12. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the water of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Verse 8, And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Verse 9, And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they were there unto this day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word that's true, that never changes. And as we read this story in Joshua, we know that the God that was then is the God that is now. And I pray as we study this word that you will apply it to our hearts. Everybody's heart here is in a different place, in a different position, and is on a different direction. But I pray that you would meet them where they are. I pray that anything that I say would not be from myself, but would be from you. So may my flesh be suppressed, even though it's weak. But greater are you that is in me than he who is of the world. So Lord, suppress my flesh and anything that's evil. Cast it out, Lord God. And may that which is good come forth. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we think about this story, right? I took you straight to the crossing. But let's have a little bit of context. At the end of Deuteronomy, we know the leader of the Israelites, Moses, had died. And Joshua just took up the authority. Now, this is something kind of interesting to me, because Moses, who led the Israelites 40 years through the wilderness, gets to the brink of the end of the finish line, and God's like, you're not going to cross, but I'm going to show you what I promised. And so he does, and Moses died. Joshua picks up the torch, so to speak, and goes to carry it on. God calls him. In Joshua chapter 1, called to continue his plan. And 2, we talk about the spying and the planning and taking over of Jericho. And then we get to chapter 3, the plans of crossing the Jordan. There's a preparation. So we have all of these experiences. As you can imagine, if you cross the Red Sea back in the beginning when they were coming out of Egypt, that's one place they crossed, into the wilderness because of how they acted. But sometimes in life when we cross something and we think we're going to come out on the other side into a really green grass, we don't always do that, do we? And then in the midst of crossing over it and wondering where we're going and the direction we're taking and what God's doing and what's the point, sometimes we just don't go to him and say, what would you like me to do next? We just grumble and complain. And God allows us to sit in that state. You're going to see me one way or another. But you need to look to me. You need to turn to me. So we get to the very end. We're going to jump all the way to the end. And now they're getting ready to cross the Jordan into the promised land that he did promise them. He did bring them to the point of deliverance. Not just ultimately, but multiple times through that whole process. Now, how many times could you deliver somebody before they actually start believing that they're going to deliver you? That's the way that I live my life many times. Why do I got to go to work again? Why do I got to deal with certain people again? Because God says there's a point to it, and I need you to listen and not grumble and complain, or you're going to miss it. And you're going to, I'm going to let you miss it because you're going to, I give you free will to do it. We're always saying, where is God and what is he doing? God's saying, I want to show you that direction. I want to deliver you, but do you even want to be delivered? So when we look at deliverance as your point number one, and they're crossing the Jordan, this is the magnitude of what's going on. But what's our position? When you look at Moses, perhaps you weren't delivered out of a situation like Moses, like you might have thought you were. But if you think about Moses, he spent so much time with God, face to face with God, carrying God. Moses, in my mind, essentially lived the promised land when he walked through the wilderness because of all that God was and is with Moses. He could reflect on his life and see how God was always with him. If you're the Israelite today, perhaps you're in a situation not sure what that next step is going to be. When he told, listen, in chapter 3, when they were saying, hey, look, you're going to cross the Jordan, but this is what you got to remember. You got to keep at least a half a mile between you and that ark. And they're going to touch down in there, and you're going to see the waters. Now, they were flooding at that time. I don't know about you, but if I was an Israelite, I'm like, this is nuts. Why are we doing this again? It might work, it might not, I don't know. He hasn't delivered us, he let us wander for so long. Is it gonna work out? I guarantee you at least one person thought that, despite all that happened before. But I think the only reason why one of those things happens in our life is because we failed to produce a monument in our life, in the forefront of our life, to remind us of what God has already done. You ask Jesus to save your life, that is great, and you have that faith. But do you continue to put Jesus in the center of your life or at the forefront of your life with all that he takes you through? And it doesn't matter. Maybe it's a sickness that's a common cold. When you come out of that common cold, that should be a reminder that God is good. Maybe you're Joshua. Perhaps you're being called to a new position. We're doing this Three to Thrive right now. Maybe God's calling you to serve. And you don't know what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. Now, Joshua was with Moses through the wilderness, training. Now he's being called up to lead all these people that he's like, hey, Moses can deal with their complaints. Moses can deal with their issues. Now it's his turn. Maybe they might not accept him. Maybe you're sitting here today thinking, I want to serve in the kids ministry, but I don't know that I can handle the children. And you might not. But he can. God is sufficient in all and every situation. He will give you everything you need right in the right moment. Can I tell you how I know that? Because I'm standing here. I'm standing here. First message I ever preached, 17, 18 years old, Brother Floyd. I was in the church of my girlfriend at the time, but that's now my wife. And her dad said, I'm going to let you preach a message. I'm like, okay. You know what I showed up with, Brother Tim? A magazine. Yep. I said, I got this illustration. This will be great. And I preached from a magazine. I'm like, what am I doing? But God reminds me of that moment every time. He said, because I can use the insignificant things of the world to confound the wise. I'm going to give you what you need. Ultimately, Christians, and yes, let me talk to you for a minute. We are living representations of Christ, but our time is limited. Our time is limited. Let me see if I can pull this up. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Who is going to pick up the torch and continue what God wants us to do? God is wanting us to be ready and willing to carry on his message of hope and deliverance to your friend, to your neighbor, your family, your coworker, the community. This Three to Thrive is calling you to serve, so serve. We're all in one of these positions. Moses, Israelites, Joshua. Nevertheless, we are called to be messengers, a leader to a world of darkness. It says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. You know, one of the things that I remind the teenagers of is he says, let your light shine, and a light is seen and not heard. You don't need to say a single word. All you have to do is be a representation of Jesus. But if you don't build the memorial of your life around everything God does and apply it to the forefront, what are they going to see? Are they going to see despair? Or are they going to see someone that overcomes every single thing? Why does he always thank him for everything? Because he delivers you from everything. No matter the situation you and I are in, as believers in Christ, we are always, always going to be delivered. And God proved that to the Israelites all the way from Egypt up into the promised land. It simply comes down to a state of mind that supports our position of faith. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. A state of mind. How do you get in a state of mind every morning to love your spouse? You have to put something at the front of you that is going to compel you to go that direction. Before your feet hit the ground, you have to tell yourself, Lord, help me to love her the way that you want me to love her. How am I going to help my kids take the next step after everything that they've just done? Because God says, I'm going to give you everything that you need. I will deliver you. I gave you those children for a purpose, for a reason. And I'm going to give you what you need in and of yourself. And we can't do anything. Striving to reiterate to ourselves daily and convey to others that God always delivers us. Second step toward being able to establish a reminder, this memorial in our life, is following directions. So your second point is obedience. Obedience. This is more so our personal position. Now, we've talked about general positions through Moses, Israelites, and Joshua, but I want to kind of make it a little bit more personal. As we look back through it, verses 2 through 8, we're going to jump here. Look at verse 2. It says, take you, verse 3, and command ye them, verse 4, and Joshua called. Verse 5, and Joshua said, verse 7, then ye shall answer. Verse 8, and the children of Israel did. And verse 9, Joshua set up 12 stones. If you kind of break down the process of all of those actions that we just kind of briefly went through, verses 2 through 8, you're looking at two things. You're looking at a messenger, and you're looking at a recipient. And God calls you to be both. God calls you to be both. And this is what you need to understand. If you and I are not only trying to be one or the other, that we are not actually fulfilling the word of God. Because we are called to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So a hearer is a recipient and a doer is an action, is a messenger. So in order to create these memorials for our life that we can apply at the forefront, that remind us of what we are doing, why we are doing it, the point of it, and everybody else around us, we have to be able to do these two things. The messenger, to be the one who carries and delivers it, makes sense. A recipient to be the one who receives it. Today, you're sitting here, and maybe you're supposed to be the messenger. And God's like, you have received as much as I'm going to give you. Lord, I'm just waiting on you. I've already given you everything that you need. So take the step of faith. Imagine that. If it says faith, that means you don't always know everything. And in order to be a messenger and give somebody hope, you need to take a step of faith that everything's going to work out. I got to be very general here. Sorry, I'm getting over a cough, so I'm trying not to cough. When I go to work in my clinic Thursdays and Fridays, I pray every morning with two nurses. And we pray over the day. And I came in one day and I said, I don't want to be here. I want to be at that other office. I said, I'm just going to be honest with you. And one of the nurses said, well, let's pray about it. Let's pray that God shows you what you need. So we prayed about it, and it was the almost second to last patient of the day. And everything that that patient said, I just sat there. And God said, just listen. I literally turned off the medical cap and just listened. And I said, God, what do you want me to say? And by the end of it, he said, ask her about hope. So I did. I was a recipient in the beginning of receiving prayer over my life that God would talk to me. And then I became a messenger at one moment of the day. And so I began to share the hope of Jesus Christ in a person's life. By the time we were done, this individual said, and I'm not lying to you, and I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. She said, my feet and my hands feel really strange right now, and I don't know why. She goes, but I like it. So I don't know what was happening there, but my point is that when we obey Christ, good things come out of it. I didn't want to be there, but God wanted me there. And it's not about what I want, it's about what he wants. And he wants to not just deliver me, but deliver other people. And if that's what you're in for, not just a get-out-of-jail-free card, then God's calling you to be a messenger and a recipient. So if you are the recipient today, hear these words. When you talk to God, be ready to listen because he wants to do stuff through you. You and I are called to be both this recipient and messenger throughout our lifetime, according to the Bible in James 1, 22 to 25. But be doers of the word, as we mentioned earlier, and not hearers only, deceiving not your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetting that manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed. You didn't come here today to hear something and forget it and walk out. Because if you did, you didn't come in for the right reason. And sometimes we do come in that way. But please, let yourself break down in this moment. Forget everything else that was going on before. Let God talk to your heart. Let him change your mind about what you're concerned about, what you're confused about. The Bible is the only established memorial of what was, what is, and is to come. It is everything. Revelation 1:8, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. What a promise. We honor veterans. We honor people who died in war. We honor people who served and are still alive. We honor what was and what we may never get back. But when we honor God, we honor what was and what still is. And what's even better, what is to come. And what hope is that? It's an everlasting hope. It's an everlasting hope. And as a messenger, as somebody who needs to start building more of these memorials in their life, and I'm talking about thanking him for everything. You touched the ground today. You're breathing air today. You know, a celebrity, I'll leave him nameless. I just heard him say this. He said someone else told it to him. And one of the things he said is, do you know how you know someone needs encouragement? Is if they're breathing. Because it's pretty easy to give. And we've got a whole lot of that to give because we have Jesus in our life. Let's look at this third point, the remembrance. We're going to lean into this a little bit more heavily. The remembrance. I'd like you to flip over to verse 19 to 24. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you, until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that he is, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. This is where we get what the point is, if you haven't deducted it already. In verse 24, we convey that the Lord God, what he has done and can do, it's his mighty hand. What he has done and he can do. That's what we need to keep telling ourselves. What has he done in your life? Think right now, what is something he's done in your life? And I bet you the first thing that you tend to think of is probably something that's pretty significant. But why is it so easy to only think of the significant things? Because they affect us the most. But what if we got into the actual habit of looking at the really simple things and saying, God, you are amazing. Thank you for bringing me through that flu. Thank you for bringing me through that cold. I had Brother Tim on standby at one point to preach for me because I could not stop coughing. A couple days ago in the clinic, I'm coughing so hard. I had three nurses stand there. What do you need? You need tea? You need water? You need cough drops? What do you need? I had three drugs in front of me in less than 5 seconds, and I'm like, I can only take one of those. The provisions. God brings you out of it. I'm standing here today not coughing a drop, thanks to the water too. But a reverent fear. So when we build these memorials in our life and it helps us develop a life of confidence, of determination, because then we realize it's not about our own strength and our own might. It's not about how we deliver ourselves. It's about how God delivers us. And it makes it a whole lot more easier to give somebody the truth and the hope when you've done that repeatedly. A whole lot easier. If you don't practice something, you're less likely to want to do it. When you don't practice for that test that you're getting ready to take, you're a little bit more nervous to take it. But if God says to be prepared and to give an answer and to be ready, then we should be able to do that. And it doesn't mean that you only have to sit here and study. It means that you have to apply it in such a fashion that it becomes a memorial in your life with everything you're looking at. That way, you could say to the evolutionist, my life should say, Romans 1:20, one of my favorite verses, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So to the agnostic, my walk should say, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So to any religious belief, my attitude should convey 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. That is the true God and eternal life. If you take these things and you apply them to your heart and you take your experiences that God delivers you from it, from kindergarten all the way up, you know who to give credit to. But you also know how to lead someone to him. You know, my reminders of my childhood, there are certain smells. You're like, I know what you do outside of here. Don't tell me about your smells. No, these are good. There's a certain smell that comes in my life once in a while that reminds me of preschool back in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. It's weird. It just like takes you right to that site. Ladies, cucumber melon. Yes. Praise the Lord. It takes me back to my dating Miss Jessica years. If I smell that smell, I'm like, oh, I can smell it. You know, these are things that remind you, and that's the sweet fragrance of Jesus. What is, when you catch a whiff of Jesus, are you like, oh, that's him. We wonder, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. I'm trying to speak to you. But everything that I did for you, you left back here, and you need to put it up here so that when I do speak to you, it's like, oh. What a beautiful reminder of who he is. And the thing is when you're doing that, you're walking to a different beat and a different tune, and nothing can stop you. And everybody who's looking at you is wondering what is wrong with you and what is different. But it's the good kind of wrong. If love in Jesus is wrong, then I'm dead wrong. As a Christ follower, get this, we should want to show the who, the what, the where, and the when of Jesus. We should want to encourage others to be Jesus monuments in our life. Let's look back to that Matthew verse 5:16. Let your light shine. If God has changed your life, and I mean he's saved you, you are redeemed. If he has changed your life, meaning you given your life over to Jesus Christ, and we mentioned earlier, you got that get out of hell free card. Yeah. You have faith in Jesus, and that's good. But what about yours and mine obligation to share his truth, not only in words, but as a living, breathing, active memorial for other people? Like, Joe, you're playing seemingly loosely with the idea of salvation. I'm not. But I just don't understand. Because I have experienced pain and suffering through other people, not myself, praise God. But I have seen pain and suffering and death in my life more than I think a lot of people have, unless they're in the medical field. I've held a beating heart in my hand trying to get it to go back. I've seen people cry because nothing can change. And how do you tell somebody about a hope when they feel like they're hopeless? Do you know how you do that? Because when you get involved in people's lives and they see you living it and they see you walking it and they hear your stories because you're a messenger and a messenger has to give because somebody else needs to receive, and you sit there and you give them the truth over and over, that when one day they come to a Jordan in the river in their life and they're like, how am I going to cross it? I've seen Brother Tim do it because he leaned on something that got him across. Brother Tim, what was it that you leaned on? It was Jesus. Jesus helped me through it, and God parts the waters of it. Now, it doesn't mean you don't go through unscathed, but you get delivered. Allow me to elaborate further. You and I, in and of ourselves, like I said, do not possess the capabilities to achieve anything without his blessing and deliverance. And we will be confronted with these Jordan crossing moments. Death, sickness, finances, broken relationships, confrontations, political nightmares. Imagine that. Geographical devastations, global warming. But if we fashion for ourselves the daily, and I mean daily, reminders. Paul says, die to self, what? Daily. Who the Son of God is, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, who he is, what he has done for you and for me, then nothing's impossible. You could throw me in front of a Jordan, and if God says, I'm gonna do it, he'll do it. But do we still believe in that God? We read about it. We say, I believe it. But do you walk like it? Yesterday during play practice, I did not carry those in, but I had all the little children do it. I got one from every tribe. And boy, I would be darned. Where's Miss Felicia? Harvey, man, had that one. And he went like this, but he brought it. You know what it made me think of? I'm not Joshua, but I said, go get a stone and bring it in. Harvey didn't say, I don't want to. He didn't say, I can't. He just said, where do I go? And he ran. And I said, what did I say, Felicia? I said, I wish everybody responded to my helpful needs as much as Harvey. But don't you think Jesus says that? I wish that so-and-so, and he says your name. I wish that so-and-so would just remember what I've done so that they can run to the next thing that I'm telling them to do. I wish that they would just remember how I delivered them when they thought that baby wasn't going to make it and they made it, that job wasn't going to come through when that job came through and everything that they put back here for some reason. And the only time we want them up front is when we come into that Jordan. We're like, what do we do? One of my favorite little movies is The Bug's Life. In the beginning, a little leaf falls and the ants are marching in their lines. And I don't know if everybody knows where I'm going with this. That leaf falls in the ant line, and the ant line stops, and the ant says, I'm lost! And that's what we do. 12 stones. The Bible says that those 12 stones, he said, put it on your shoulder. I don't think it was like this. I think it was big. Because I feel like God was saying, I don't want you to forget it. Your muscles don't get big by always doing 10-pound weights. Your muscles need to know not to forget what they just encountered so they can get stronger. And so God said, put it on your shoulder, Joshua says, and carry it over. Because it is going to be a memorial and a testament to everybody who asks you what I did here today. Guys, I don't know about you, but I don't mow the lawn when there's dew on the ground. And you sit until noontime like, is it dry? Because it will stick to the deck. And it's bad. But that dew took forever to get there, right? Took forever to get there dry. But God said, and the ground was dry. Just sucked it right out. God can do that with your life. He can dry any wet ground in your life. He can fix any problem in your life. And when he does, what are you going to do with it? So this is what I want to challenge you with today. I didn't bring you ping pongs. So you're not going to do that, and you're certainly not going to throw stones at me. This is not going to be something I challenge you with as just a one-time thing. I borrowed this and signed it out of the decoration closet. Let that go on record. An empty jar. Go to the Dollar Tree and get an empty jar. Pay for it. And then with time, I want you to fill it. Day to day, day to day, day to day, every day. And you know what you do? You involve your kids. Grandparents, have the jar at home. Trade the candy jar for an empty jar for Jesus. Because when that kid comes over, they can say, Jesus helped me with my test today. Jesus is with mommy in the hospital. And I know he's going to take care of her because I'm seeing a jar fill up with stones that only speaks to the testimony of a God that delivers. And I have seen that through my obedience in Christ, that I'll come up with so many jars by the time we're dead. It just will, it will sound with remembrance of Jesus Christ. So in closing, are you going to memorialize Jesus every single day in your life with the new things that he does for you? Or are you just going to forget most of it? Because if you forget most of it, you're hurting yourself, you're hurting your walk, you're hurting your effectiveness, you're not being a true messenger of Jesus. Because like we just said, a messenger is a light that shines. So what are you conveying? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, in and of ourselves, we recognize today that you are all we need. And I pray, God, that you would work in our hearts to remind us that every day. Help us, Lord, to be purposeful with those reminders. Help us to keep it in front of us, Lord, so that we can walk in the straight path that you have already taken, because we are more than conquerors in the name of Jesus Christ. You have already taken the steps of tomorrow. And so we can say with confidence that you will deliver us. We thank you for that. Again, Christian, if you're here today and like, look, I've been reading my Bible. I've been receiving the word. I'm going to ask you to just get real with God today about whether or not you're really receiving and being the messenger. Ask him to help you establish those moments in your life every single day so that your walk with him is even stronger. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't even have a jar, but you can get one. God says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's your deliverance. All you have to do in your seat right now is understand that you cannot cross into heaven unless you have Jesus Christ. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So in your seat today, you can ask the Lord to come into your life and to forgive you of your sin. And in that moment, you set up that eternal jar. And every day from here on out, you can watch the deliverance of God in your life happen in an amazing way. Take that time to pray.